Very grateful to be able to share at this meeting. What addiction looks like for me, you know, when I was in first grade, I had a girlfriend, and when all, you know, I think I was like 6 years old, and like when everyone was like doing coloring books and puzzles, I was like behind the bookcase, like kissing my girlfriend. You know, I like moved to a new town and was like the new kid and was like, you know, dating all the girls at my new school, you know. When I was living in New York, I was like, in a 7 day week, I would see 7 different girls, like one a day, sometimes 2 a day. And I got so much validation and self-worth from being wanted from someone else. You know, it was like the hit or the high. Like it was such a dopamine rush to be wanted, like to be vulnerable with someone and have them still want me. But I didn't think it was an issue. You know, there was like no problem with seeing 7 different girls in 7 days. I was like, this is fun. Like, why is this an issue? And it took me a long time to realize that it was. You know, my roommate at the time when I was living in New York was like, hey, I think you might be a sex addict, man. And I was like, what are you talking about? I don't know, I'm just like having fun. Like, you would do this too. You know? Which is ridiculous. And then I ended up getting into a 4-year relationship, which I just blew through like all these red flags, which I loved. Like, I wanted to like fix her. You know, she was so like damaged in the perfect way that I thought I could like solve all of her problems. But meanwhile, like, I can't even solve my own fucking problems. So we dated for 4 years, and like it kind of put my addiction like in the background. Like I was like, I'm in a relationship. How could I possibly be a sex and love addict? And then about a year ago, we broke up, and I became single. And this is when my addiction like really came back. I'm also sober at this time. You know, I have a serious drug addiction. So I got sober, and like my addiction like transferred immediately to women, searching for that hit or that high in any way that I could get it. And for the first like 4 months, I like would make this excuse, I would build this justification to myself to be like, I just got out of a relationship, like I can be single, like I could be seeing all these different girls, like I'm just like, this is the single life, you know? Like I don't want to get back into a relationship, that would be really clear with girls, and just be like, I just got out of a relationship, like I don't, it's got to be casual. And then 9 months in, I'm like, I just got out of a relationship. And then I was like, wait, this has like almost been a year that I've been doing this. Like, this isn't, I didn't just get out of a relationship. Like, this is a pattern. And I tried to stop on my own. Like, I was trying to build these boundaries around my behavior. I was like, I'll just go on like one date per week. You know, and it would work for like a week or two. And then it would be back to me, you know, seeing, you know, 5 different girls in 5 days. Like, I would be in situations where I'm literally laying in bed next to a girl. And on Instagram, DMing another girl to meet up with them after. Like, it was never enough. You know, I was seeing like 3 or 4 different girls in one day. It was like consuming my life entirely, and I could not stop. But I thought that I could. Like, I thought that I could control it. And I proved to myself over the next couple months that I could not. So eventually I ended up in the rooms of SLAA at Colorado Center. And they read the characteristics of sex and love addiction. And every single one was like, this is me, to a T, like this is exactly me. I don't think I should have come into this room a long time ago. So I was like absorbing the information, but I was still like doing what I wanted to do. You know, I didn't want to stop doing what I was doing. And again, I was trying to like make my own boundaries. I was like, I'll only see the girls that I have like an emotional connection with. Like I won't just like see girls like casually anymore. And it would only last like a week, and then it would go back to being exactly what it was. And I got to the point where I hit my bottom, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I was like beaten into a state of being reasonable. And I went into the rooms, and thankfully Devin was there and Steve. And I was like hearing these people in the rooms that like had what I wanted. I was like, I would come into the rooms originally and be like, I don't know like what you guys are doing, but like it's not gonna work for me. Like, you know, I don't think I can, you know, I was so hopeless and powerless over my disease. I just like didn't want to stop acting out. But at that point, I was like, I just need to do what, like, they have what I want, and whatever they do, I'm going to do that exact thing. So I went up to Steve and asked him to be my sponsor, and, you know, the first thing we did was top, middle, and bottom lines, and then he had me make a list of women, an LOW, like like all the women I was talking to at that moment. And it was shocking. It was 40 women that I was talking to at one time. And it was mind-blowing. I mean, that was like a white light moment for me where I was just like, how am I managing my life? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I even have a job and like friendships and like time for myself? And the thing is, I pretty much didn't. Like, I like had enough to like get by, but I didn't have a connection with myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like just getting by at work. I was like sleeping at some girl's house and then showing up to work in the same clothes. Like, I was not living to my potential. And I would never live to my potential if I didn't surrender to this program. So the one most important thing I did was just like surrendering to sponsor direction to this program, realizing that my thinking is the problem. You know, once I realized that my thinking was the issue, it really helped me. I was like, my thinking has caused all of this, and my thinking is not going to be what solves it. Like, I need to turn my life over to a higher power and to this program and to sponsor direction and living in consultation with fellows in order for me to change. So I continued to come to meetings every single day. You know, for a long time, I was going back and forth about, you know, because I'm in AA and working the steps in AA, and I'm like, I need to, like, finish my steps in AA before I can start SLOM. But it got so bad, like, my acting out, that I was like, I need to do this program. Like, I need to do both at the same time. Like, I'll figure out how it will work. And it has actually been beneficial for both programs. Like, I've been going to meetings, like, multiple meetings a day. Like, I've been doing, like, a 60 and 60, pretty much. And it's like significantly helping my program, helping me stay engaged with this work and develop a connection with higher power. But the most important thing, you know, outside of surrender is the withdrawal experience for me. I'm 112 days into this program and into withdrawal. And I was so resistant to, like, Steve wanted me to block all of these women that I was talking to and, like, delete Instagram and delete phone numbers and go no contact with women entirely. And I was so resistant to it. But I was like, my thinking is the problem. Like, if he's telling me to do this, I'm just going to do it. Like, totally against what my body's telling me to do. And I started, like, blocking all these women on that list. And, like, I felt bad about it, you know? I was like, I feel so bad blocking them. Like, they're going to be mad at me, you know? And Steve was like, you are doing them a favor by blocking them. You're protecting them from you. And I was like, okay, that's probably true. He's like, they don't know that they're on a list of 40 other women. So going no contact was like one of the, you know, most amazing experiences. Withdrawal is like an incredible experience where, you know, I've been no contact with women for 93 days. I have no social media at all. Like, Facebook, like, I'm barely on YouTube. Like, I'm in this complete state of deprivation. And it is incredible. Like, the joy of, like, not getting what you want is really amazing. In the early, you know, the first 30 days, it was fucking torture. You know, like, I was going on, and I still am, going on, like, 2 or 3 walks a day. I'm, like, constantly walking up to the beach. Like, constantly distracting myself. But I'm, like, we have this group chat with Steve's, like, family tree of sponsees and grand sponsees. And I'm just, like, constantly sending voice notes to fellows on WhatsApp. I'm, like, constantly, like, I'm, like, re-listening to my own voice notes. I'm listening to old voice notes. Like, I'm constantly staying engaged in this program and this work, and it's the only thing that's working. You know, withdrawal is an amazing experience. And, like, prior to, you know, when I was acting out before a program, I was totally unavailable for myself. My family and my friends were getting tired of me talking about women all the time. And now I'm able to, like, really, truly be present for myself and, like, build relationships with my family. Like, my sister lives in Mar Vista, 10 minutes away from me, and I would see her, like, once every 4 months. Mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing her, like, a couple times a week. Like, I'm, like, being available for all these things in my life that I was not able to be available for previously. And there are things that I wanted. Like, I wanted to have a relationship with my family, but I was powerless over my disease. My disease was making choices for me. Like, it was choosing for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have control over my life. And now, as a result of this program and withdrawal, I have, like, taken control back, and I can, like, actually have choices. I can, like, live in consultation around all my decision-making. I can, you know, like, trust that God has a plan for me and that I don't need to make all the decisions. Because when I do, it inevitably turns into me, like, you know, being at my bottom. So I was really thankful for this program, really thankful to have a moment of surrender that first time that I really just turned it over to to the program, but it's something that I need to do every single day. Like, this is 24 hours at a time because my bottom is right there. Like, it is right there. You know, I picture myself being this tightrope walker, and my disease is right underneath me, and the only thing that's keeping me from falling into that pit is, like, the safety net of recovery. And I need to do it every single day. Someone once said, when you're not paying attention, your disease is doing push-ups. My disease is always working out. And I picture my disease as this, like, big, buff, like, oiled-up guy at Gold's Gym with, like, tattoos, like, working out all the time. Like, I literally picture it in my mind like that. So I need to be doing this work every single day to, like, stay one step ahead of my disease. So, yeah, that's all I got. Thanks.